have a dual purpose in the message that I want to share with you for the next few moments. In one respect, it is to the graduates this morning. I want to speak that into your life and just really speak into your lives. It is also a message to every one of us this morning. In fact, it's fascinating. I looked ahead. I knew where we were going, where the Lord was leading us. And it's interesting how several things came together this morning. And that is, it is Pentecost Sunday. It is also the day we're recognizing our graduates. And it all just kind of comes together. In fact, it's interesting how it dovetails in with the last of the series that I've been preaching about Paul's. We've talked about Paul's and connecting and influence and being alive and about having a cause. And this morning, I want to share the last of that message. And it's fascinating how it, I think, will speak into the lives of the graduates and to all of us this morning. And I want to talk for just a few moments this morning about a message I've entitled Vital. Vital. For the graduates, perhaps a subtitle would be appropriate, The Way Life Works. The Way Life Works. Because here's what I know may be the thing that the graduates learn most over the next year or two in their life, and that is life doesn't work like you thought it worked. Right? But life can work. And I want to talk with you this morning about the way life works. So will you join me in prayer? Father, I thank you and I praise you for the privilege I have for the next few moments to share this message about vital, what is vital in our life, and about what it takes to make life work or the way that life works. And I ask you to come, speak into our hearts, speak into our lives. Lord, we do not need just a sermon. We need you to speak to us. And we thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pentecost Sunday is the 50th day after Easter. It is always the 50th day after Easter. And it's kind of interesting because it's a culmination of the 40 days that we've been talking about in the series that we've just finished up entitled Paul's, and the 10 days that the disciples spend waiting in Jerusalem. And it's fascinating how all of that comes together in the message I want to share to you this morning. In fact, if you stop and think about it for a moment, the circumstances surrounding Pentecost are quite interesting and quite difficult. And think about it, just take with me, a step back with me just for a moment to the first century and just think about the impossible situations that the disciples were in and Jesus put them there. Now that's what's fascinating about it, but think about it for a moment. Christ died on the cross, he rose again, and he has walked with them for 40 days, as we've discussed over the last several weeks. And during this time, he reiterates, he formalizes to them what he wants them to do. He goes over and over again, and we've talked about that. I don't want to rehearse that message, but we've talked about that. But think about it. He basically is saying, look, I want you 12 guys and some others that I'm going to send along beside you. I want you to evangelize the whole known world. I want you to preach to the Jews and to carry the message to the Gentiles. I want you to spread the gospel over the entire Roman Empire and over all the territories beyond. Furthermore, I want you to heal the sick and open the blind eyes and make the lame walk and the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. I want you to deliver the oppressed, free those in bondage, and cast out demons. I want you to challenge the religious establishment, stand against social injustice, and mend the fences between races and feed the poor. I'd say that's a pretty impossible situation, wouldn't you? He said, what's more? He didn't stop there, right? I mean, as if that's not what's more, I want you to establish the church on the foundation that I've laid for it. I want a church in every village, every province, every community. I want the church to be the lighthouse, a beacon, a hospital to all that are in need. I know it's a huge job, but it has to be done, and I'm commissioning you to do it. As if that isn't enough, he then said, as you do this, you need to know, people aren't going to like you. That you're going to be ridiculed and mocked and bitterly opposed. Some of you will be persecuted. Some of you will be outcast. Some of you will be run out of your homes and others will be run into prison. Some will even be put to death. It may cost you everything. Your families, your homes, your possessions, it'll all be on the line. You will pay with your livelihood, your reputation, and even your lives. And as if that wasn't enough, then he added this. And by the way, I'm leaving. Hold on, wait a minute, time out, right? You want us to do all of that and you are leaving? You are going away? Really? That's what you're doing. I mean, talk about an impossible situation. In that, the disciples began to get a real quick lesson in the way life worked, because up to this point, Jesus had been personally with them. And I think Jesus put them in that situation on purpose. It may well have been that he was painting the impossibility of it in vivid colors just so they would recognize how impossible it is. And then he adds this from Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. While he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promise, which you have heard of me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates, for the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts or to the ends of the earth. Notice the imperative here. Do not leave Jerusalem without my Father's gift. That gift is the Holy Spirit. In other words, what Christ is saying, my whole message in one sentence this morning, here's what he's saying. Life is designed to work in the power and presence of God, which is why we must have the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's it. The way life works is in the power and the presence of God, and it will not work right otherwise. I say that to the graduates that are here this morning, and I say that to every other person that is here this morning. What Jesus is saying is there is a way life works, but it only works in my power and my presence, and the reality of my power and my presence in your life is the Holy Spirit today. Listen to me, graduates. I'm about to be half a century old. That hurts. I'm telling you, it's the relationship with the Holy Spirit. Why is that so crucial? Why is that so important? Let me carry you just real quickly, and then we're going to come back to Acts. Just real quickly, let me tell you why. Just a few reasons the relationship with the Holy Spirit is so important. In John chapter 16, verse 7 through 15, and I'm just going to touch on these real quickly, because I want to get back to Acts here in just a moment. But here are just a few reasons that Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit was so important. One thing that he says, this. He says, it's good for you that I go away so that the counselor will come. The counselor, that word counselor in the original language is the same word as our word encouragement. Counselor and encouragement come from the same original word. Listen to me, graduates, and listen to me, everyone here. The Holy Spirit will be your greatest encourager in your life. Listen to me. There will be times when mama can't encourage you and daddy can't encourage you. It is like Sister Cynthia said. There'll be times when you can't get to anyone else and you just need to be encouraged and lifted up. And I'm telling you, that will come in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. He can encourage you when nobody else can encourage you. In fact, the words that he speaks will be exactly right. Here's what I have found in my life. One of the most difficult things about pastoring and visiting people in difficult situations is knowing what to say. In fact, a senior pastor told me years ago, he helped me so much when I was struggling with that. He said, Glenn, it's not important what you say, it's important that you be there. Right? On the other side of that, though, the Holy Spirit knows what to say. He knows what you need to hear. He knows what needs to be spoken into your life. He knows when you're in the dorm room, or you're at the job, or you're at the end of the class and you're just not sure it's going to happen. You know what I mean? He knows how to encourage you. He is an encourager, a counselor. Second thing that Jesus tells us here from John is this. It's that the Holy Spirit brings conviction. It says he convicts the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Listen to me, graduates, and listen to me, everyone here. Conviction is not a bad thing. In the modern world today, in modern Christianity today, we have the idea that we aren't supposed to be convicted about anything. In fact, there's a teaching going around that once you are saved and once you are in Christ, that you ought not to ever be convicted about anything ever again. Listen, I'm not talking about condemnation. Condemnation is of the devil. Conviction is of the Holy Spirit. Conviction is to the soul and spirit what pain is to the body. It warns you. It cautions you. If this were a hot plate, and I put my hand on this hot plate, instantly physical processes would start, where instantly signals would run up my finger into my back, up into my brain, and then immediately back into my muscles, and the reflex would be to immediately pull back. That sensation of that heat and pain would be to pull back. Without that, my hand would be fried beyond use. That's what conviction is of the Holy Spirit. Conviction of the Holy Spirit is that feeling when you walk into a room. You walk into a room and every one of you and all of us, not just them, but all of us are going to have an opportunity, because it happens over and over. But you walk into a room and the atmosphere of it isn't right. You know that the people that are there are not right, and what's going on there is not right. And that first initial touch of the Holy Spirit is telling you, get out of here, get away from this. This is not good for you. I do not want you burned beyond use. Conviction is a good thing. Conviction is when you're in the relationship with that young girl or that young guy. And the Holy Spirit says, Michaela, Jessica, Simeon, I know you need companionship, but this is not it. That's conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's a good thing. On the other side, conviction is a positive thing too, and that is that the Holy Spirit brings strong conviction in you and character and integrity in you, and it helps you to stand when you ought to stand and to be the woman and the man of God that God's called you to be. And listen, that's true for every person here, not just our graduates this morning. Conviction is a good thing. Don't run from it. Embrace it. Second thing that he tells us in this is truth. Can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit is known in verse 12, 13, he has the Spirit of truth. If there is one thing you will need in life, you will need the ability to discern the truth. And that's why the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, is so valuable to your life. Listen, it will not matter whether you're in a long-term relationship or you're buying a car. There's going to be the need to discern the truth, right? Nothing against car salesmen. I've got family that's car salesmen, but I'm just saying, you need the ability to discern the truth. There's going to be relationships, job offers, scholarship offers, career opportunities, and you're going to need to know, is this the truth? Am I being told is what the truth? Is this the place that I fit? And not just that, it goes on a little further. It says, and he will tell you what is to come. You see, the power, you and I can only tell what is truth now. The Holy Spirit can tell you what is truth in the future. Oh, that's valuable. That's important to me. I don't want to just know what's going on right now in my life. I want to know what the future is. And the only way I can know that, he can tell me the power of the truth in the future for me. Because I can tell you, there's a lot that looks good now, but it just doesn't fit in God's plan for my life. It's not that it's necessarily bad. It's not that there's necessarily anything wrong with it. It's that it doesn't fit in God's plan for your life, and therefore it's not truth to you, right? The Holy Spirit can walk you through that. Then another thing the Holy Spirit does, before we go back to Acts, in verse 14, he will bring glory to me by taking of what is mine and making it known to you. It has to do with glory. See, the Holy Spirit, if you will let him, Michaela and Jessica and Simeon, will involve you in what Christ is doing. And that will bring glory to the Father. And you can spend your life no way better than being involved in what God is doing. What is God doing in my school? What is God doing in my workplace? What is God doing in this relationship? What is God doing in my church? What is God doing in my family? And he will share that with you and allow you to bring glory to the Father. That's just four things. We could go on and on. There's no way to preach about all of that this morning. Point that I'm making this morning is this: the Holy Spirit is absolutely crucial in your life. So I want to share with you, in the few minutes we have left, I want to share with you four imperatives from Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. Four imperatives for our graduates and for everyone here in regards to what makes life work, or the way life works. Four imperatives. One is this. From verse 4, one is this: do not attempt life without the Holy Spirit of God. Right? That's what he says. He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait on the gift of my Father that you heard me speak about. graduates and everyone here, listen to me. You can do life on your own. But you can't do life on your own. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can do it on your own. You can butt your head against that wall. You can push. You can try to make it happen on your own. But I'm telling you, it won't work. You can try to do life to make life works in relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, American Express says, so American Express don't leave home without it. I tell you, the Holy Spirit don't leave home without it. Right? Don't attempt life without the Holy Spirit. It's true for Kristen, and it's true for Ron, and it's true for everybody in between. The Holy Spirit is what makes life work. Don't try to do life without the Holy Spirit. Don't attempt it. It is vital. It is crucial. It is necessary. The Holy Spirit inside of you. Otherwise, life will not work. Don't do life without the Holy Spirit. Spend some time every morning. Holy Spirit, what is it you're speaking into my life? What is it you're doing in my life? What is it you want to do? What is it you want to speak into my life? Do not attempt life without the Holy Spirit. That's imperative number one. Do not attempt life without the Holy Spirit. Imperative number two. Do not think just being acquainted with the Holy Spirit is enough. You must be full. You must be full. Ephesians 5:18 puts it this way. Do not be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:14 puts it this way. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. See, listen to me. Just being acquainted with the Holy Spirit is not enough. I want to dovetail on something Sister Cynthia said a few moments ago because it's absolutely true. There is a degree to which you as graduates, there's a degree to which up to this point that you have ridden on mom and dad's relationship with the Lord, and there is nothing wrong with that. But it is a new day. She was absolutely right a few moments ago. It is a new day. You are stepping into a new era. You're stepping into a new arena. And I'm telling you, you cannot now just be acquainted with the Spirit, acquainted with the Word, acquainted with the church. You have to be full to overflowing. There are two reasons for that. One is this. One is that the degree of your life or the place in your life that is not full of God, the world will fill it up with something else. Right? You don't have to try it. I mean, you don't have to work at that. It just happens. It happens by walking down the road and watching the TV and reading the newspaper and working. The world will fill your life with other stuff if you don't fill your life with God. And that's true for every person here. Second reason we have to be full of the Holy Spirit is this, is that life drains. Life drains. Life just, it just has a way of draining out of you. In the last 3 weeks, my mother-in-law, as you know, has had a stroke. My father-in-law had a heart attack and a pacemaker, and Geraldine spent 2 days in the hospital. In the last 3 weeks, can I tell you, life will drain you. That's why you got to stay full of the Holy Spirit. Listen, do not attempt life without the Holy Spirit, and do not think just being acquainted. Playing church won't work. I'm not just speaking to the graduates here. I'm speaking to all of us. Playing church won't work. Just being lightly connected won't work. That's why it's so crucial, so important. Sometimes I think that people think that pastors, when they say things about church and church services, that it's that they have some kind of ulterior motive. Listen to me. The reason it's important that you're in Sunday school, the reason it's important that you are in worship, Sunday morning worship, the reason it's important that you connect on Wednesday night is because there's something valuable about being connected to the family of God. It keeps you full of the Holy Spirit. And can I just say to you this morning, this is not in my notes, it's extra, there's no charge for it, but listen to me, if you are not connected in a vital, vital way, and you just feel drained all the time, check up. There is something going on there. Plug in, stay connected with the Holy Spirit. The third imperative is this. Do not concern yourself. This comes from verse 6 and 7. Do not concern yourself with the things that are in God's hands. Notice what 6 and 7 says. They were asking them, will you, Lord, at this time restore the kingdom? And Jesus said what? It's not for you to know the times or the seasons. Listen to me, graduates. Everyone to listen. Look, plug in right in here. Just for a second. There's some things that are in God's hands. And they're better off there. If it's in God's hands, leave it in God's hands. It is there are, you see, this almost seems to be out of place with the rest that we're saying, but it comes, it's a point of trust. Will I trust what's in God's hands? And there's some things that are in God's hands. One of those valuable lessons that I've learned about the way life worked is that there are some things in God's hands and I just have to trust Him with them. For you as graduates, career will be one of those. You do not have to force it. I'm not saying you don't have to work hard. Oh yeah, you have to work hard. I'm not saying you don't have to apply yourself, get an education. Oh yes, you gotta outwork everybody else. Absolutely, you do. Don't cop out on me. But I'm saying you don't have to manipulate or intimidate or pull the strings. Leave it in God's hands. He'll make it happen. Amen. Success. Success is in God's hands. And God, I know this as sure as I'm standing here this morning. God wants to and will make you a success. But it will be His definition. And it will be what is best for you. Don't go after anything else. Another area is marriage. Marriage. Leave that in God's hands. God does have someone for you. God does have a choice for you. God does want to. Leave it in God's hands. Don't press it. Trust the presence of God in your life enough to work it out. Amen? Pursue Him. And you'll find all along the way everything else that you need. Fourth imperative is this, and I'm going to finish up. Do not attempt life without the Holy Spirit. Do not just be acquainted with the Holy Spirit. Do not concern yourself with the things in God's hands. Do this one thing. Approach life in the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at what it says there in verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The only thing in life that you have to concern yourself with is walking in relationship with the Holy Spirit, and everything else will come in line. And life simply will not work any other way. You see, life is designed to work with the power and presence of God in our lives. That's why we must have the Holy Spirit. In the few minutes that we have left, let me see if I can connect this in a real way. Let's say this morning, and some of you may have heard this, me use this illustration before, but let's say this morning that because it is Graduate Sunday, and because Michaela sat right there in that seat, let's say this morning that I give her the key. Now, wait a minute. No, that was way too much. Do you understand what an illustration is? An illustration means I get this key back. Let's say I give you the key to Geraldine's brand new 2013 Camry. XLE, fully loaded. No, don't clap. She's not really getting it. You people are scaring me. Let's say I give her the key. About 2 or 3 weeks later, I come up, and Michaela's a beautiful young lady. She keeps herself dressed well, and just everything to a T. But let's say in 3 weeks, I come up, and Michaela is just, she looks like she's been under the bus. Makeup running everywhere. In fact, it doesn't look like she's had makeup on a date. Hair just all over the place. Her clothes are just dirty and torn. And Michaela, what in the world? And she says, it's that car you gave me. Wait a minute. How can it be that car I gave you? I gave you a brand new. I didn't really give you. It's an illustration. I gave you a brand new 2013 Camry, fully loaded, leather inside. She says, but it's killing me. It's killing me. What do you mean it's killing you? She says, Pastor, it's killing me and I don't have time. I've got to get to work and I've got to be there. It takes me 4 hours to get there in this car. 4 hours? What are you talking about? Just forget it, Pastor. I've got to go. She walks out the door and I look out my office. Michaela goes around, she puts the key in the ignition, and she turns it on, she puts it in neutral, and she gets behind the car and starts to, just trying to push the car. And I'm looking, thinking, what in the world? She gets it pushed out, and then she gets out of the parking place, and then she starts up, and you know there's a little hill going out of our driveway, and she starts pushing it out of our driveway, just barely pushing it, getting it. Just barely getting along. And finally, she slips and falls down, and it rolls back over. Kabump, kabump. And she gets up, and she goes around, and she starts again, and I walk out, and I say, Michaela. Michaela. And I get in the car, and I crank it up, and I drive off. And Michaela, laying there on the pavement, lifts up her head and says, oh, that's the way it works. Listen to me. You can try to push life. You can try to do it on your own. You can try to make this thing happen. You can try to force it all you want to, and I'm telling you, it will kill you. But if you will sit, oh my goodness, if you will sit in the presence of the Holy Spirit, if you'll sit in the power of the Almighty God, if you'll sit close to Him and allow Him to pour into your life and to pour into your spirit, I'm telling you, that thing will crank up and it will run. Amen? It will run. Don't try to force this thing. Don't try to make this thing happen. You don't have to. The Lord has given you the key to making life work. It's His presence in your life, His power in your life, which we know as the person of the Holy Spirit. Is that good? That speaks in not only to our graduates' life, that speaks into every life here, because I have a sense that maybe there's some others that are here this morning and you're 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years older. And can I tell you, you don't have to push life to make it work. Spend some time in the presence of the Holy Spirit. He has enough power and He has enough presence to crank that thing up and make it work. But you got to lean on Him. You got to depend on Him. And you have to be going where He's going. Right? But when you are, that's the way life works. Amen? Amen. Ginger, if you'll come. Stand to your feet this morning. I want to pray a prayer over all of us this morning. You might say, Pastor, how do I do that? I'm just going to tell you real quickly this morning. How do I do that? Talk to Him. Listen to Him. And obey Him. There it is. Three simple steps. Pastor, how do I do that? One is talk to Him. Tell Him, share with Him, tell Him what's going on in your life. And then be quiet and listen. God wants to speak to you. And then do what He says. And you will find that's the way life works. That's the way life works. Father, I thank You and I praise You for the privilege that I've had this morning of preaching this message that is not only a message to our graduates, but to everyone here. And Lord, it helps us put in one package all of what You did during those 50 days between Easter and Pentecost. We thank You, Lord, that indeed You are doing something powerful in our lives. You are helping us, Lord, to see how life works. Life works in Your presence with Your Spirit inside of us. And so I pray a special prayer for our graduates that they indeed, Lord, will cultivate a close personal relationship with You where they talk to You, where they listen to what You're saying, and where they respond and obey quickly to what You speak into their lives. And doing that, life will work. Lord, I also pray this morning because likely there are some that are here that are struggling Maybe they've been trying to push that thing and make that thing happen and make that thing work. Lord, I pray that this morning, by the power of the Spirit and the power of the Word, you've helped them to see they can rest in you, they can depend upon you, and that they too will talk to you and listen and respond to what you're saying and doing in their lives. I thank you, Lord. You have an incredible plan, incredible thing that you want to accomplish. And the way, the avenue for that is your presence, your power, by your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the reality of that today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Till I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. I love you.